Welcome to the Midnight Society. I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
And we're here to talk about ghost stories. True ghost stories. Things that have happened to us, things that we want to investigate, and things that have happened to you.
Email us your experiences at midnightsocietyae@gmail.com or leave us your firsthand story as a voicemail at 978-938-4BOO.
Hello, Radioland.
Hey, y'all.
We are here tonight, today, this morning, whatever time of day it is, where you are right now, to present you with
Ghost Dumps. Ba-no-no. So let's explain a little bit.
Yes.
You're accustomed to hearing us either tell you about one of our investigations or present a bunch of stories and our own sort of research and opinions on a certain topic. But this is a little bit different.
Yeah. We have a bunch of stories that we have not yet categorized into a greater episode. We've got lots of stories from y'all. And so we thought, let's not keep it back from the world.
Exactly. Some things don't need to be put in a category.
Let's dump it
onto
the world.
So here is your ghost dump number one. We've been blessed with many stories from all of you beautiful people.
Thank you.
And we want that to continue happening.
Please.
So the best way to do that is to make sure we are putting your stories out there.
So here we go. Round one of Ghost Dumps. You may hear these again from time to time.
So sit back. Imagine that you are sitting with your friends around a campfire and enjoy these very spooky stories from our contributors.
Till next time.
Goodbye.
My name is Rachel, and I wanted to talk about a Ouija board story. I've told this story to a few people, and most people find it pretty unbelievable. But it definitely happened, and it's 100% real, so I'm glad that I could talk about it with you today. So it started when I was about 17 years old. I was living in Queens, New York, and I was hanging out with a friend. And she introduced me to a friend of hers named Armin, who had a Ouija board. And we decided to play the Ouija board in a stairwell of his building. And I don't remember anything happening during the first time that we played. But I do remember him saying that the first time that the last time that he played it with a friend, his friend kind of had a weird reaction and started kind of having a seizure. So they had to stop playing. And I found that to be kind of a red flag, but, you know, I played the Ouija board anyway. I'm a teenager, so didn't really listen to my instincts. So I think it was maybe like a month later, I was with a friend walking down the street on Queens Boulevard, and I saw Armin walking down the street with his Ouija board, and I was like, hey man, what are you doing? What are you doing with the Ouija board? And he said, I'm actually on my way to throw this away because I played the Ouija board again with my friend, and he started having a seizure again, and it really freaked me out. So yeah, I'm about to throw it out. Would you maybe like to take it? And I ended up taking it. So my friend and I decided to go back to her house, and we were in her apartment playing by ourselves. Her parents were not home. And we played for probably about an hour. And while we were talking to it, the thing that I found to be strange was it started saying that it was my grandfather and was talking to us as my grandfather for a while, and then it started to say that it was her grandmother. But as the entire time that we were talking to the Ouija board, it kept saying Z-A-Z-A. just over and over and over again. And then it would talk to us for a little while, and then it would say Z-A-Z-A. And at one point during the session, we ended up getting it to knock on the wall. And it was a very clear, hard knock. And it happened in her room, and there was no one in the house, so it couldn't have been anybody around. So after that, we decided to stop playing because it scared the crap out of us. And I ended up going home later and was by myself again. And when I got home, the strange thing was that my two dogs that I had, were acting strangely as soon as I got home. They were staring at the door and barking and looking up as if there were something on the wall or a person standing there. And I kept trying to get them to come into the living room with me, but they just wouldn't. And that kind of scared me, but I chose to ignore it. And then later that night, I woke up in the middle of the night to a night terror. I felt like somebody was standing next to me, and I was completely frozen. And it was probably one of the scariest things that I've ever experienced. And then when I came out of it, I could still sense that somebody was in the apartment. And I kind of just stayed up for a while until the feeling subsided. So after that, I didn't play Ouija board for a long time. Until I met a friend, her name was, and we had kind of discussed the Ouija board together and our experiences. And the one thing that we had in common with the Ouija board was when she played the Ouija board, it also said Z-A-Z-A over again for her. And she, from what she told me with her experience, it was saying things that were kind of threatening and negative, but still it was saying Z-A-Z-A over again. So, you know, after all this talking about it, we got curious and decided to finally try the Ouija board together. And we did it in her apartment in Albany, New York. And there were a couple other people there as witnesses to what happened this day. So we were doing the Ouija board together, and again, it started doing the Z-A-Z-A, and then talking to us, answering little questions, and then going back to the Z-A-Z-A. At one point, it said mom, and then her mother called and had some bad news about her boyfriend or something. So that interrupted the session, and then we started up again, and we heard a knock on the door, and just for shits and giggles, we decided to say, you know, who's at the door, and it said a girl, and then lo and behold, we answered the door, and it was one of our lady friends. So she came in and we continued to talk on the Ouija board. And at one point it wasn't being super responsive. It just kept saying the same thing over and over again, which is Z-A-Z-A. So got frustrated with the Ouija board and kind of yelled at it a little bit, and we forced it to say goodbye. And I swear to God, as soon as the I forget what it's called, a planchet or whatever the magnifying glass is, as soon as it hit the E to say goodbye, a dog from her backyard, I don't even know how it got into her backyard, started opening the door that was right next to us, and was barking at the same time, and we had to slam the door shut and, like, hold it shut so that the dog couldn't come into her house. And as we're holding this door shut the dog is just like scratching at the door and barking and seemed really angry. And to this day, I don't really know where the dog came from or whose dog it was. So that was a very scary thing. So after that, we had realized that it was probably a bad idea to do it in her apartment. Bree had had some bad experiences there after we decided to play there. She had told me that there was one day where she came home and, or she woke up, I forget what it was, but she said that her microwave was on the floor and unplugged in her kitchen. So, you know, that means that somehow it was forced off of the countertop and had fallen onto the floor. So after all of this had happened, for some reason, I finally decided to Google what the ZAZA could be. And I just Googled ZAZA or Zaza Ouija board to start. And I found that there were thousands of people who had also experienced that phenomenon. And, you know, all of the other stories that I had read were people, you know, talking about how it started off as the spirit saying that it was a loved one or, you know, trying to gain people's trust on the Ouija board and somehow, you know, gaining power and coming into their lives and making scary things happen. So that really scared the crap out of me after reading all of that. And definitely made me realize that I don't ever want to use a Ouija board ever again. And I've had so many paranormal experiences, like since I was a kid, I feel like I'm just very open to that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never experienced like any kind of terror like that. And another thing that happened, which I forgot to tell you, was after that, every time that I would go into any of the hallways in my building, I would get pretty scared. Because I lived in an apartment building in the city, all of the hallways were pretty long, you know, mm-hmm. and then filled with all the different apartments. And for some reason, I always found myself being really scared and, like, not really wanting to look down any of the hallways.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, and this was after everything had happened, and there was one day where the elevator was broken in my building, and I had to walk my dogs, so I had to go down every set of stairs, and at the bottom of every set of stairs, you have to turn to get to the next set of stairs, but in turning, you have to face a long hallway. So I remember the day that I was going down these hallways, and every time I got down to another hallway, I grew more and more afraid. And finally, when I decided to, like, actually look down a hallway, I saw, like, a shadow, a tall, shadowy figure at the end of the hallway.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, kind of the shape of a man, but it was just a shadow. And it was tall. And when I saw it, I mean, I got really scared. And even my dogs reacted to it. Like, they got really scared and tried to run down the stairs. But after that, I never really had any appearances. And I feel like at that moment, it was the type of thing where, because I honestly feel, like, pretty protected in my own spirituality, and I feel like it was maybe the spirit kind of keeping its distance, but trying to be, to show its presence anyway.
So, me and my family grew up in this two-family apartment in Malden, on a dead-end street, and the house outside just looked creepy. I had friends over. They didn't know I lived there. one of my friends was like, oh, who lives in this haunted house? And I was like, oh, I do. I had them inside, and inside's just as creepy. Growing up in this house, I used to sleepwalk, and I haven't sleptwalked since. And I've always felt, and not just me, my brothers and sisters, we all think that something happened in the bathroom of this apartment. My story, I remember sleepwalking. I remember being out of my body and looking at myself, standing in front of the sink and looking at myself in the mirror and just staring at myself. I don't know how long I was in that bathroom, but I was just staring at myself, and I could still see it in my mind. It was this creepy feeling, and I knew that I was sleeping, but I was just there alone in the bathroom, like somebody was guiding me to be in that bathroom. There's other times where I have sleptwalked. My family was in the living room. It was about 10 p.m. at night, and I walk in the living room, and I say, I'm going to go outside. I want to play with my friends. And they were like, oh, your friends are sleeping. It's 10 p.m. Go back to bed. And so I was like, I want to go outside. I want to play with my friends. And they're like, go back to bed. And they found me outside standing on the porch in my pajamas. One other time, which is hilarious to me, but it must have been so creepy to them. Another thing I said to them when I was sleepwalking was, kill them first. Don't kill me. I was like 11 years old. I still remember. I remember that. I remember looking at myself saying that to them. I remember, like, from their angle, I remember what I was wearing and just seeing myself say that. It was very weird. My brother has this reoccurring nightmare of being in that house, starting in the bathroom. He is running from the bathroom and running up to the front door, and this figure is chasing him. The figure has a human form, but the face is all blacked out. And my sister, she has a story about the bathroom. She was in the kitchen, which is right around the corner from the bathroom, and the light went on by itself. And she remembers going to the bathroom. No one's in there, but the toilet roll, all the toilet paper on the toilet roll was unraveled and on the floor in the bathroom. And my father, he just remembers that the lights would go on by themselves up in the hallway, which was outside our front door. I mean, outside, there was a door to the apartment, and then the hallway, and then an outside door, and that light in the hallway would go on by itself. And he also just remembered this uncomfortable feeling, like somebody walking by his bed. It's just weird, odd feelings in that house that I can't quite explain. I have this feeling that if there is a spirit in that house, it was a female spirit. I'm not sure why I'm thinking that, but it just felt like a female.
Did you guys ever, like, do anything intentional to try to make contact, like Ouija or anything like that?
No, I would not want to communicate with the ghost. I'd be too afraid.
What did your parents think? Did they ever talk to you about it after you got older? Like, did they move out of the house because their kids were having, like, these bouts of weirdness?
No, not at all. No. My father absolutely loves ghosts, watching, you know, ghost hunters.
Ooh.
He's really into all of that. So I would think that he would probably just want to be there. He thinks that his current place is haunted now. His bedroom, he thinks it was haunted. My mom's, like, put crosses up on the walls. But he's got crazy stories, and he used to be an exterminator. He's retired now, but he used to go into all the old buildings in Boston at very late at night. So when Ghost Hunters was, like, huge, he would start bringing, like, cameras to these places, like places that he, like, there was rumors that it was haunted, and he brought, I think he has, like, video. I saw video or at least he says it is what I'm looking at. It's a video of a basement in one of the restaurants in Boston, and you can kind of see a shadow walking down the steps.
It's Karen. So I thought I'd give you a call and give you my story, the story I went through on our drunken night out in Bath. I do want to preface the story by saying that generally I'm not a superstitious person, and I am skeptical about a lot of the stories I hear and read, especially the ones that involve graveyards and orbs and shrouds of light. But something that happened to me quite a few years ago now was so clear and vivid that I have no real explanation for it. And there's a bit of a backstory, but the backstory only really makes sense after the event. So I'll start with the main event, really. So I grew up in a house in a little village outside Windsor with my two brothers, a sister, and my parents. And I grew up in the same house for the first sort of 19 years of my life. And my dad was born in the same house. In fact, he was born in the bedroom I shared with my brothers. So he'd always been there, and his parents, again, had always been there for at least 20 years. So it was a real family home. Not particularly old, about 100 years old, which is, it's quite old, but in the UK, it's, nothing spectacular. It was a Saturday morning. I was about 12 years old. So Saturday morning, broad daylight, I'd woken up about 9:30 in the morning. A bit of a lay-in because it was the weekend, and got up as usual to get up and probably watch some cartoons. So I'd woken up, gone to the bathroom, and just to give you some layout, the upstairs hallway in the house was an L shape, with the bathroom on one tip of the L, and on the corner, on the 90-degree angle, was my sister's room. And so I just finished doing my business, and came out of the bathroom. So I get to the staircase at the top of the stairs, and as I'm going towards the corner of the landing, I can see into my sister's bedroom. And as I look up, no more than a meter away from me, I see a man dressed in just a pair of shorts walking into my sister's room. There's no mist or shroud of smoke. It was an opaque being who resembled my dad walking into my sister's room. And of course, sheer terror, just immediate terror, screaming with fear, run down the stairs. I jumped down most of the steps, missed the last 7 or 8, and burst into the living room where my mum was with my brother. She was ironing. And I just scream at my mum, there's a man upstairs, there's a man upstairs. And of course, she panics because she thinks there's a man upstairs. So she drops the iron and runs upstairs. And I'm sat there shivering. And she goes upstairs and comes back down a few minutes later and says, there's nobody there. My brother was obviously terrified as well because I looked like I'd seen a ghost. And so for the next kind of few weeks, I slept downstairs on the sofa. I was too scared to go upstairs. I think it's every kid's worst nightmare to see something like that when you're that age. And eventually got the courage to go back upstairs and sleep in the bedroom. But I mentioned some backstory previously, so a lot of stuff started to make sense to me after the fact. And I remember thinking back that we used to always hear somebody upstairs. It's quite a small house, and quite prominent footsteps, often quite fast footsteps in the landing upstairs. It was only a few meters away from your head, so you can hear them loud and clear. Even when you knew nobody was upstairs, you'd hear somebody walking across the landing with a sudden stop. And every Saturday, my mum's sister used to come round with my cousin, so my auntie. And now I think about it, they used to always talk about it. And my mum, comment my mum said that always stuck in my mind that only really made sense after I'd seen it was we'd heard somebody upstairs, and she turns to my auntie and says, I feel sorry for Jody. It's always in her room. Obviously talking about the fact that the steps always went into my sister's room.
Thank you to all of our contributors who submitted a story for our ghost dumps. Stay tuned next week for another edition of the Midnight Society as we lead you into Halloween. Happy October, and until next week.